This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Water is life and without clean water, there is no life. Malaysia is home to iconic rivers which are not just Malaysia's but also the planet's arteries of life and which are intrinsically linked to human well-being. So it was International Day of Action for Rivers on the 14th of March, a day dedicated to solidarity when diverse communities around the world come together with one voice to say that rivers matter. And today on the show, I'm joined by Dr. K. Kalitasan. He's the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center, and he's joining us for a reminder on why rivers matter and why we must all work together to protect the health of our rivers. Welcome, Dr. Kali. How are you today?
Thank you, and good afternoon to you and everyone here. And also, thank you for having me in this show. I'm great.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Dr. Kali. I always look forward to chatting with you and it always provides so much insight on, you know, the care of our rivers here in Malaysia. Maybe we can start, Dr. Kali, with just a quick report card on how our rivers are doing. You know, can you give us a brief overview of the status of rivers in Malaysia?
Okay, sure. As a beginning, I think we should know in Malaysia, we have roughly around 189 river basin, which covers in total of 2,986 rivers. So that the number is quite huge for a country like Malaysia. But relatively, our rivers are shorter than most of other countries. Yeah. So by going by the numbers, I would like to put that overall, I believe, okay, that our rivers are still in manageable condition, okay, without being biased to anyone, to protect the interests of rivers as well. I would say still manageable condition. There are still some good, healthy river in Malaysia. Believe me, there are other things. But on the other side, we still do have polluted river as well, especially in urban areas. So we cannot deny that. So therefore, okay, we need to alert on this. No, so we have clean, so we need to protect. As well, we need to recognize there is also issue in our country. So therefore, I believe this show is great so that we can enlighten audience about our role, what we should play to protect the healthy and also to enhance the so-called polluted rivers in the country. Now, so comparatively, if you look into the over the years, now I would say that for the last 2 years, there are some significant improvement in terms of the water quality index. So that's a term that we use, you know, to know about river quality in the country by DOE. What we notice that is there is a reduction in the slightly polluted and polluted rivers in Malaysia. Okay, in 2019-2020, you know, from the 672 rivers being monitored by DOE. Okay. However, when we compare in 2020, from 2020, where our new norm start, you know, the COVID, you know, the restriction and so on, we say water quality is considered back to polluted. Okay, compared to the water quality that we have now in March 2020, it is clearly showed that anthropogenic or human activity is the actual factor that caused the river pollution. So that's why we need to play our role, because this God or nature have showed us, no, the real culprit is the human being. It is proven without doubt.
Okay, all right. I mean, it is a huge issue here in Malaysia. And like you said, you know, we saw that during the pandemic, you know, the rivers were cleaner. And now in 2022, things are getting back to normal. Unfortunately, it's a normal we don't want to go back to. But that is a huge issue in Malaysia, right? Water pollution. What do you want Malaysians to know about how their daily activities actually leads to river and water pollution?
Everything starts from we, you and I. Okay, and also our home. Or in the other word, our action lead to the current scenario. So we shouldn't complain. We should look into ourselves. Why this thing happened? Because we are the real culprit. I mean, it's not animal or other things now. Okay? So if we want to conclude that statement, what does it mean? It means that what we do or what we fail to do. See, a lot of time people think what we do now. But it's not only that, but also what we fail to do. more first, we fail to understand the actual water connection. We fail to do recycling. We fail to be responsible, all these things. So it's not only people talking about, we throw things, we cause the pollution, yes. But we also fail to be responsible and fail to do this. Okay, a lot of good things now. So when you want to look into overall, what is our role here and how this interconnected, we have to understand that everything is interconnected. We call water connection. Okay, that from the source to sea through river basin concept, that everything is a part of the river. See, most of the time people think, I love river. So therefore, once a year, I go to the river and do cleanup. I have done my part. Fantastic. I feel proud. I have done for the environment. Actually, you're not. Because most of the time, we engage ourselves into river care or river cleanup, or they call the famous word, gotong royong, bersihkan sungai, all these things. But the balance 363 days, we pollute our drain. You see?
Yes.
So we need to understand that drain is a part of the river. This is what one of the things I say people fail to do. They fail to understand that drain is a part of the river system. Okay, so it means a fail to manage the drain will lead to the river pollution. And based on actual survey study that GEC conducted over the years, people fail to understand that their drain is actually connected to the river. Whatever they throw in the drain, it will end up in the river or in the pond, all these things. If based on actual survey that we done, they think it's a disappear. Somehow it's disappear. And they say, I only throw in the drain. I never throw anything into the river or in the pond or lake. Okay? So we need to understand. Therefore, what I'm trying to say that we have to ensure that nothing ends up in the drain. It's not only you throw something into the, stop throwing into the river, but also the drain, okay? And everyone need to understand, make sure that drain meant for rainwater only. Only for rainwater. But unfortunately, in reality, everything except rainwater ends up in our drain. So by the time rain comes, if the drain is full of rubbish and so other things, sediment and so on. What we discharge, dump through, or like rubbish, used cooking oil, the salish water, the sediment from the land clearing, development, all this thing, it go into the nearby drain. And then from the drain, go to monsoon drain and finally ends up in the river. And the final destiny is obviously the ocean. Okay, so who is the starting point? The whole thing is where we, So for me, we need to understand that drain is a part of it. So if you want to be effectively manage the pollution, is by tackling at the source. So I will see that the actual solution for the river pollution is a human factor. We can understand that the actual driver for the transformation, for the whole holistic management of river is the people, And that's what we need to understand. So everyone should take their ownership, and do not neglect the importance of the drain management. Because people think sometimes, I've done, as I mentioned earlier, care for the river, but drain is the basic unit. So therefore, GEC since 2002 have promoted what we call My Drains Day. So don't only celebrate the river, but also we and I must celebrate the drain. That's the immediate thing, dengue, where it come from? I mean, immediate drain. Also, exactly. So we have to do that. So please focus on action related to drain mapping and creating awareness on the importance of the drain management to our river system. And finally, everyone have to play their proactive role. Every small action by numbers, as we know, because we have more than 30 million people there, will lead to the big impact. So don't think big, Think small, tackle your own issue, care for your own surrounding area, your drain, and is meant huge impact for our river. Okay? As I mentioned, everything is interconnected. So therefore, prevention is better and cheaper option compared to the curative measures. Please remind that water is life, river is lifeline, drain are our arteries. So therefore, we need to care for the drain.
That's really interesting, Dr. Kali, because like, I think, you know, in previous interviews, you've told us, you know, how when we throw our cooking oil in the sink, yes. you know, where does it end up? Where does it go? Into our drains? We throw things outside. It's like, we don't throw it into the sink, we throw it into the drain thinking, that's going to be the, you know, the end of our problems. But everything is the arteries, right? The rivers are arteries, but drains are also arteries leading to the rivers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're just going to go for one quick break, Dr. Kali. When we come back, let's talk about how our rivers are also linked to our health. I'm speaking today to Dr. K. Kalithasan. He's the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. We are observing International Day of Action for Rivers, which was celebrated internationally on the 14th of March. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today is Dr. K. Kalithasan. He's a manager at the River Care Program at Global Environment Center. We are celebrating International Day of Action for Rivers on the show today. That is a day that is celebrated on the 14th of March annually and is dedicated to solidarity when diverse communities around the world come together to say that rivers matter. So before the break, Dr. Kali, of course, was explaining how drains are also arteries, you know, linked to the health of rivers. And speaking about the health of rivers. I mean, you know, with water, you know, it just flows so freely from our taps, right? We keep mentioning taps. It's easy to forget that rivers are a source of water for our daily lives, right? Our water all comes from there. Can you help explain how rivers, you know, lakes, all of these are connected to our health and well-being wherever we live?
Okay, that's a very important question. I think as everyone should aware, the river is a living entity that provides everything, not only for survival, but also as what you like to point out, health of living things. Okay, that's right. We got health planet, in a healthy planet, and so on. So we need to understand that. In Malaysia, for example, 97% of our potable water comes from the river.
That's right.
Which is the basic need for the human being. So if I'm the common person, we know how important the river, because water, I mean, no life without water. And it's come from the river. Shouldn't we focus, okay, and treat that as a national security?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So as we know, besides potable water, river also provide water for other sectors too, like agriculture, industry, recreational, which produce and also provide food, medicine, you just name it. Okay, everything comes from there, you know. So beside that, river also play important, another important role, which is a regulator, which is to dilute the pollution, the waste that we produce. God created river as what we call with the cleanser agent. Okay, river can look after herself because she is a living entity. But unfortunately, when the pollution load more than the carrying capacity of the river, the load that she can carry, and that caused the problem, that caused the pollution. So river can look after herself as long we do understand the carrying capacity of the river. She can look after herself, provided that we control, we manage our waste. So so whatever balance goes into that, she can look after herself. No? So that's very important. And the last point, everyone have to understand that when we talk about river, don't only look at the surface. We also understand river playing important effect for me, like layman myself, is the key thing besides provide water is income for us.
Yes.
Water provide GDP to the country. Okay.
For sure.
And anything, you know, because without water, there's no agriculture, there's no industry, and there's no work for you. I mean, most of us, you know. So we need to look into bigger picture. The water also is a GDP. No, you have to look into that level to stimulate the ownership, why we should look into that. So I would say, you know, no clean water means there's no life. Therefore, we need to treat river or water as a national security, as I said. I think we have to start moving in that angle, okay? Mm-hmm. And finally, GC goes by the following tagline. It's similar to what I say, but this is a deep message for you and I, community, listener here. I will say it again, water is life, river is lifeline. So therefore, please protect our river to protect our life. We are not helping the environment. Actually, we are protecting our life, right? Because without river, there's no life. There's no income. There's no food, no nothing. So actually, if you think that you are doing for the environment, oh, I have to do for the environment, I have to put this. Actually, no, you're not. We are doing for ourselves, for our future, our children, and the future generations. So always remember that, okay? We are doing for ourselves, actually. Okay?
Okay.
So,
Yeah, and that is something we've spoken about before, right? There's a lack of understanding about the importance of clean, you know, clean water and, you know, rivers, thriving rivers that produce that clean water. Why do you think that's the case, yeah? Like, you know, rivers, freshwater issues, you know, it doesn't quite get the attention of people. I don't know, maybe it's because we have such good water supply. I don't know. What do you think?
I think, as you mentioned rightly, is because of ignorance or, I would say, lack of proper understanding. You know, people, a lot of us, including myself at one point of time, I don't really understand the difference between water and potable water. You see, people always confused, no? Okay? Yes. Because generally, people always think Malaysia should not have any water issue. Mm. Okay? Yes, I mean, they are right, because we receive an average of 3,000 millimeter rainfall, which is very high, you know, compared to Africa, which is sometimes below 100 millimeter. Ours is 3,000. But unfortunately, not all rainwater can become potable water.
Yep.
So this is what the people need to understand, okay? Or it need to be turned into potable by going through the process, treatment process and so on, which need a lot of financial support, you know, costing us that. Okay, and generally, as you mentioned, because we think, one, we have a plenty of water because rain, we always have flood issue, okay, not drought so much.
Yeah.
Okay, and also, whenever you open the tap, you always have water. So therefore, Malaysian, I'm not in general, okay, tend to waste water. So data shows that, you know, we use more than 200 liters per capita per day, you know, compared to WHO recommendation, which is around 160 liter per day only.
Wow,
you know? Okay, that's... so that's a wrong reason for to say Malaysia boleh lah. Okay,
yes.
Rivers generally in Malaysia, I say generally, be seen as a disposal channel. Mm,
mm-hmm,
okay, and also it become a liability in Malaysia and not as an asset in other countries. See, the moment people see this liability, nobody care, you know, okay? Mm-hmm. And here, most of the time, I think everyone aware, but unfortunately, we haven't tackled this issue. Our kitchen always facing the river, not the other way. You go overseas, you know? So kitchen is not facing the river. You know, you should back the river, you know, okay? And so on. So this is the misconception by Malaysian people. So therefore, especially young generation, are not interested in river management because they think river is a disposition of why should I go and, you know, do cleanup and so on. Another issue in Malaysia, especially in urban, including some suburban or even rural area, as a taxpayer, people always think that is responsibility of the agencies, you know, for the government, okay, to keep the drain and river clean for me because I'm paying tax.
Yeah.
Okay. Not only to the federal government, to even the local government, you know. So many tax, you know, so why should I be responsible? So it's your duty to make sure that drain and river clean for me, because that's one of the services you should provide, okay? Mm-hmm. And now, what we notice that we, especially young generation now, is disconnected with the nature, from the nature. So in this case, river, do you believe if I say a lot of people don't know the source of drinking water? They don't know where the drinking water comes from. The general answer will be from the tap.
Yeah.
They go, don't go beyond. If they ask where the fish come from, most of the time they will say the hypermarket. You know, they never catch any fish from the river. You know, right. So and then where their wastewater goes, so they don't know, as you say, when they flush through it and they throw, they thought it will disappear. Okay, mm-hmm. Without knowing the system. So therefore, in GC, and also I think currently government also do recognize and started to take action on that, that every nation must know their river address. Like we have address. So we need to know the river address. So there's a three component. And I say river address. Number one, you and I must know our river that flow at the back of our housing area or building and so on. That's number one. Number two, everyone need to know where their drinking water come from. From which river? Not necessarily from the same river. It could be different basin, different river. Okay? Which are the treatment plant? And third one, which is also equally important, when you flush water, where it ends up? To which waste treatment, I mean, sewage treatment plant goes there. So with these three knowledge, we strongly believe it will lead to the ownership and also will lead to the action because they know their drinking river come from the river, which
yes.
Most of people are not aware. Sorry to say that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the lack of understanding is really quite crazy. I mean, but there is, I mean, recently, Dr. Kali, I think there has been some renewed interest, you know, in rivers and also the increase because of the links between floods and rivers. I think we all remember what happened in December just recently, right? You know, we watched the rivers rise and so much of fear. Can you explain how floods and rivers are interrelated?
Okay, excellent. This is a very interesting question. For this time, I mean, for instance, November last year, we have faced one of the worst flood, especially on the impact for the people. It's the worst ever. Okay. Yeah. To respond to that question, no? Based on my more than 20 years experience involved in this kind of nature, you know, river flood, people and so on, I think there are two major issues in here. Okay. Number one, which water volume due to the rainfall and all. Okay. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, which is a lot of time people overlooked, that water storage space. Okay. One, the volume of water. Second, the storage for the water.
Okay.
Okay. So although as an environmentalist, I don't deny on the extreme weather condition lately, okay, which lead to the significant increase in the rainfall, rain pattern. Now lately, everyone knows it's also because of the climate change. Also, we don't deny that. Is everything true, no? Other thing, which is sometimes beyond our control. We admit, as NGO, I admit that. As environmentalist, I admit that. What I strongly believe that we fail to manage sustainably the second issue, as I mentioned that, which is a water storage or flow area. I personally think, okay, based on my communication with majority of people, that people fail to understand that water also needs space. This is what we fail to understand.
Interesting.
Everyone knows, everyone need house, you know, animal need habitat. You see, everyone talking about it, although sometimes they don't, some at least people aware. But how many of us have ever thought that water also need space?
That's so interesting, yeah.
Okay. So when we encroach water area, okay, whether the catchment, the forest, wetland, pond, water retention pond, you know, all these things, you know, then water have been forced to find its own way, waterway, reconnect to her path. Okay. So when we remove or reduce the storage capacity of the by forest opening, land clearing, redevelopment of flood plain area, or water retention. I think recently there's 5 water retention ponds been redeveloped in KL. I think everyone heard about that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And reduce the carrying capacity of the water body by rubbish, you know, sediment and so on. Okay, so the volume can river take in is already reduced by half or even 70% then, okay? So therefore, when we reduce all the storage space, okay, we give no choice, we let no choice for the water to encroach into our space, which is our house, our road, our field, and that's what's happening. Even recently, Kasas Highway being flooded badly. So whose fault is this? Okay, because we fail to understand that water needs space. We need to provide the right space for her, for the water. I think that is one angle. I would say that most of the time we overlook them. I think it's a time for us, everyone, to realize that, you know, because they always think the wetland is a waste. Okay, so we develop, you know, there's no revenue. No, actually, they are regulator. They're helping us, you know, to balance our, as you rightly pointed out earlier, the healthy planet. Okay, end of the day, happiness is the key thing, you know. Okay, because I still remember during the COVID time, even though people have money, they couldn't buy the food, they cannot go out, all these things. So very limited, all these things. So always the happiness is important. Okay, so I would say that if drain, monsoon drain, river, and also water cannot be cater for the rain water and runoff, then it will cause the flood.
Okay. And, you know, communities also play a part in preventing floods, right?
Correct.
And that's where, you know, GEC also comes in. I mean, you guys have been doing the River Care program for years now. The first time I spoke to you on Earth Matters was 10 years ago, Dr. Kali, so you're still at it. Yeah. How does Community River Care play a part in preventing, you know, such floods from happening?
Okay, thank you. Obviously, community and river play important role in both the mitigation as well as the adaptation for the climate change and also the disaster risk management, be it flood or even the, what they call drought or erosion and pollution as well. Okay, when talk about mitigation, one of the things that we can play important role is when we can be environmental friendly, okay, or green consumerism, okay, practice that green consumer, manage all sustainably, be responsible for our own action, reduce the waste, you know, adopt the zero waste concept, you know, be responsible. I like to put in one word, be responsible in what we are doing.
Okay? It's as simple whether as that, whole, right?
It's simple. But sometimes simple thing in nature become so difficult, no? Because we've been, sorry to use the word, brainwashed on the mega, mega, mega. Everything mega works, no? Yeah. Actually, no. It's a simple thing. The basic thing is the most effective way, you know. Okay? And then beside that, you know, the community also must learn to live with the flood due to the climate change, you know. It's a time for us, you know. And the other world become a flood resilient. Okay, we need to adjust that. Okay, so that is called adaptation. We need to adapt also. We cannot run away. So our experience now for the last, 5 years, you know, when we spoke to community, whether in rural or even in urban, when we say that, you know, we need to prepare, you need to adapt, you know, you need to do that. They say, no, I have lived here for the last 30 years. It never flood in my area. Only until that road, no. This is an actual word they use. You will flood until that my neighbors. Never to my place. My house has never flooded for the last 30 years. But if you see the last three, four years, the house has been flooded badly. They say this is the first time in the history of my 30 years, my house. This, I mean, our Sri Muda. Again, we have mentioned over the time, no. So people overlook Shah Alam badly flooded. Because they say it's not a flood plain, but we need to prepare. We need to adapt. We need to mitigate because due to the climate change, it's beyond our control. Okay? Yeah. Of course, the government can do a lot of things, but our role, no, we have to play our role also. So rather than just depend on top down, but also bottom up, what role we can play on that. No? So GEC with MyWP Nation Water Partnership and also DID, Drainage and Irrigation Department, have developed what we call a program called Flood Ranger, to empower public on the preparedness. It is a climate resilient program focused on preparedness action before, during, and after the flood. Empowering community and prepare them to act during the situation is significantly important to reduce the impact of, to life and also losses to the due to the flood. You know, the property, you know, we lost billions of money every time.
Yeah.
Okay. And to assist people to prepare, like example, grab bag, 72H bag, and also town watching and flood hazard map. See, like country like Korea, Japan, community knows when flood come, what to do. Where is their evacuation center? Okay, evacuation center. Every child knows where to run, which road to take. Whereas my personal communication with some of the victims, they said, no, when flood, they don't know which one. They go against the river flow or water current and flushed out.
Gosh. There's no crisis management, right?
Yeah. Because we cannot underestimate the power of water. We cannot go against it. So, but unfortunately, no one taught us how to live with the flood. I'm not saying we are praying for the flood, but we need to prepare. Okay, not only individually, but when happen, where to go, what to do, okay? And only need, but also the children need to aware. So that is a great need to empower the community, including the kids, you know, how to, and like in Japan, they know the even 2 years kids knows if disaster, earthquake happen, what to do, how to hide herself, where to go, all these things. So for me, that is what community can do. People like GEC and also other agencies are doing. Please, if you don't have that services or you're not aware, please contact people like us, you know, certain agencies. NADMA is there, you know, okay? I don't want to go detail about what's their role, but there's supposed to be a lot of agencies are willing to support. So sometimes we have to take some initiative. I don't know whether it's fair or not, but to protect ourselves, we need to do our role as well. Okay, all right.
We'll just go for one more quick break, Dr. Kali. We'll come back and talk about GEC's River Care Program. I'm speaking today to Dr. K. Kalithasan. He's the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. We're celebrating International Day of Action for Rivers, which was on the 14th of March. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Dr. K. Kalithasan. He's the manager of the River Care Program at Global Environment Center. It was International Day of Action for Rivers on the 14th of March, a day dedicated to come together to say that rivers matter. And Dr. Kalithasan is, of course, explaining why rivers do matter. And before the break, he was explaining how, you know, recently we've been dealing with so much of floods, how river care is actually connected also to the flooding that's happening, the increased flooding that's happening. Again, as Dr. Kali said, it all comes back to us. And the key word here is, you know, we need to be responsible and we need to keep it simple, isn't it, Dr. Kali?
Yes.
And I think that's been the foundation of the work that you guys do for the River Care Program at GEC, right? Very briefly, can you just remind folks what that program is all about?
Okay, just introduction about GEC. Global Environment Center is a non-profit organization established since 1998, especially in building partnership through multi-stakeholder approach in the peat, forest, and elsewhere river management for the last 23 years now. Our mission is to safeguard the environment and promote sustainable management, that's very important, of resources to meet all level, local, regional, and global needs through smart partnership with the community and like-minded organizations. So we need to work together. Mm-hmm. And River Care Program with the objective to promote the integrated management of river and water resources, okay? With a focus on community participation because they are the driver, okay? And biodiversity conservation, as I mentioned, river is a living entity. So BioD also important when we talk about river, okay? With seven key programs focused on the river, river, water, waste, flood, disaster, park, island, and community fund. In fact, in GEC, we also support in small scale community-based initiative by giving some grant. Obviously, not much. Is maximum. The ceiling is 5,000. If people say, I couldn't do this because I don't have expertise, I don't have money, GEC provide expert technical knowledge, okay, the skill, as well as some, not a lot, financial support. Okay, within our men, through the support from private sectors and other good-hearted people around us. Okay. One of the key programs is the River Ranger 2.0, which cater for the impact of the due to the climate change as well. So if you look into the program, it's cater for everything, including the upcoming scenario that we're going to face, all this thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know that, you know, there's a strong focus on community participation, as you mentioned, biodiversity conservation, and also nature-based solutions, right, in the river care programs. Maybe you can just shed some light on how those three come together.
I think, as I said, a key word here is the river is a living entity. So we need to adopt nature-based solution, okay? We need to balance the hard approach with the soft approach and the hard approach. And that is very important for the sustainable river management. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we highlight, okay, what the concept called civic science or community participation, as community is our main driver towards sustainable river management. So we have redefined the citizen science as a group of people that not only monitor and collect data for the study, but also highlight the importance of their role, as we say, International Day for Action. Action is the key thing in all we do. Because a lot of people, those who like to talk. I mean, when you ask some doctor, they can talk for hours, no?
Yes.
If you ask the definition, they know because they memorize, especially the kids. But when you investigate, do they take action? Are they be responsible? That is the major issue. So through our project, you know, we have developed a lot of program, River Ranger, Smart Ranger, all this thing. With the only one intention to lead to the action by increase the awareness level, providing the empower with the knowledge and providing them the skill to take action. The end of the day, action speaks. So no point we talk, but we need to. So I always say that, you know, like don't be like NATO, no action talk only. Here we do action only, no talk. It should be action only, no talk.
Okay. All right. That's excellent. I mean, you're so right. Action is the word. And how do you engage with all these different stakeholders, right? So there's the authorities, there's the local communities. Who are the stakeholders that you generally work with?
Okay. I mean, as usual, everyone knows, you know, when we talk about stakeholders, you know, we look into the normally either with the government, private sectors or public. These are the three main sectors people always think. So obviously GEC also follow the same formula. We work with it. But beyond that, there's another two elements that I like to highlight so that people really understand the root cause or root mitigation that we should take. Besides focus on the government, private sector and blaming each other, we also understand that there's another group which is also important, that is the flora and fauna.
Ah,
don't only think about human being. We need to understand that animal and plants have equal right on the river and on the environment. So whatever we do, don't only look into our benefit, you know, to secure our life and so on. But also we have to be spokesperson for the flora and fauna because they cannot speak. We should be the voice for the animal as well as the plants, you know. So we need to, that's the second one. So whenever we engage, we always make people aware that whatever we do, don't only look into the impact to us, but also look at the impact of the flora and fauna because we cannot live without flora and fauna, correct?
Yeah,
we depend on them, okay. And the third category, also equally important that, you know, GEC or even at a global level, UNDP clearly mentioned that, you know, that water problems are often generated outside of the water sector. This a lot of people don't understand. We are focusing on the main player, but study shows at a global level that water problems are often generated outside of the water sector. So therefore, we cannot afford to be water-centric anymore. Cannot. Those days, yes. Now, cannot. We need to engage and involve the unpresented or hidden actors. So GEC also engage, you know, like a politician, the religious people, you know. So there are so many non-water-centric community or group that also play important, if not the key role to play. Okay. So therefore, when we say who, all the three categories. The first one, the government private or PPP, private public partnership, and also we engage flora and fauna, the nature, the environment. And the third one also cannot be water centric. We also involve other so called hidden or unpresented actors.
Okay, because I mean, rivers are so hugely important to biodiversity, right? So flora and fauna, as you mentioned. And I mean, just very quickly, Dr. Kali, I mean, what are some success stories that you can share with us, you know, of perhaps rivers being rehabilitated through the work that you do?
I mean, over the years, you know, as you mentioned, besides we empower them, you know, provide skills, we also, I mean, a lot of community have taken ownership and started to do a lot of action, okay? Mm-hmm. One of the key things I would like to highlight here is they take responsibility to be eyes and ears. They monitor the river, okay? They monitor the pollution, you know, they monitor the water level. And the best part is for the last 3-4 years, you know, they have been actively communicating with their fellow friends, you know, through the WhatsApp. You know, WhatsApp is a great medium for me. Fast and cheap and effective. So, like example, we have Friends of Klang River Basin, you know, a network that we formed in 2019. And so currently we have 33 community group, not individual, community group that care for the Klang River Basin. So they're active and so. So in fact, in certain area, which previously was the dumping area, you know, habitat for mosquito and other rat and all the thing. So now they turn into a what you call sustainable river garden.
Amazing.
And so on. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and now what I see that, you know, it's not only we need people's involvement and support from the agency, but also the way forward, the Malaysian government, for the first time, they have recognized or endorsed that people is the driver for water sector transformation in Malaysia under the Water Sector Transformation 2040 blueprint.
Okay.
So now it's not only community can volunteer to do, but under the legal framework, okay, blueprint, that agency also must play important role and endorse and involve or provide platform for community to be active. So it is a great opportunity, I think, you know, for our future in the country.
Okay, and the private sector as well. I mean, I remember we've had conversations about them. You know, how can they contribute towards integrated river management as well?
As we know, as I mentioned, government, private sector is also playing key role, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they also rely on water from the river and so on. So therefore, they have to be responsible too. No? When I say responsible, so a lot of the private sector always think the CSR is a part of their responsibility. CSR, actually, for me, they need to go beyond that, okay? They need to go beyond that. Like, for example, they need to also look into the social obligation, social and environmental obligation, not only to the community around there, because that always come as a what value added for their CSR program, but also their obligation to the flora and fauna and to the water of the river. See, they need to know because they're extracting water. So the private sector should aim their work plan towards become zero water balance concept. So if they take X amount of the X liter from the river, and then they need to work something that return X amount back to the nature. Okay. They also have to protect the life in the river. Mm. It's not only mainly focused on the water quality because of the DOE requirement. That's why I say they should go beyond that, look into the social obligation, not only to the people around them, not only to the consumer, but also to the environment, to the flora, fauna who live, okay, badly affected because of their so-called activities.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everybody plays a part, as you've mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid we're running out of time, Dr. Kali, but, you know, just to sort of conclude, you know, as we keep mentioning, it was International Day of Action for Rivers. What message would you like to leave our listeners with? Or maybe you have some helpful tips that you'd like to share in conjunction with the celebration.
I think to summarize the whole thing, there's no alternative to water. Okay, although petrol more expensive, you can't drink that. Okay, so there's no alternative to water. If the cause is human being, because we know anthropogenic activity, the COVID have proven that, you know, if the cause is human factor, then the solution also must be human factor. Tools, equipment, all these things are important to help us, but the key factor is the human factor. So you and I must invest on the human. Make sure they're aware of all these things. No? Therefore, everyone need to take action. Okay, be responsible for your own action. So we need to balance the hard approach, which done by the government, with hard approach or soft approach from us, because we are part of the system. We are part of the system. Okay, we depend on that and we are impacting that. Okay, so for me, let us make a difference. Be responsible. Care for the river. River care, we care through citizen science. Action. Only action. Only action. Let's do. Okay. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kali, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. K. Kalithasan. He's the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. If you'd like to find out more about the work that Dr. Kali and the folks at GEC does, just head to gec.org.my, or you can follow them on social media. You guys are constantly updating there. And, you know, there's so many different activities, not just river related, also peat forest, so many things that GEC does. Just head to their website to find out more. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.